If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
This is the OXS Jamaica podcast, Reasonings with Odessa, episode 20.
Yo, yo. Bad man a bad man, fool is a fool. Gangsters not take sorry nor just cool. Disrespect the family, you broke the first rule. Make we pop, 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 pop off my... You know this is Bay C from the TOK family, is it? And you're in tune to Odessa, Reasonings with Odessa, right here. Tune in, lock in, spread the word. Good reasoning, good vibes, sit back and observe. Yo!
All right, guys, I'm so happy. This is my first Reasonings. With me, Odessa, and it's visual. I've been like, Lord, everybody's just been bugging me. Odessa, when is it going visual? When is it going visual? We are visual now. And I wanted to come full circle because the first audio podcast I ever did was with my homeboy, with my brethren, my brother, Craigie T. And I thought, you know what? Let's just bring it full circle even more and invite Basie of TOK, his brethren, his brother, his partner. And so here we are. What? No partner like that. Oh God, you Jamaicans, man. It could be business partners. You're still business partners then?
Of course, we are business partners.
Bloody hell, you Jamaicans, man, I swear.
Yeah, man.
I swear. You
to be like...
So we are sipping on, our sipping sponsor today is... Bottega.
Bottega. Yo.
Bottega. Big up Zach Jones. Yo. Big up Bottega Jamaica.
Zach Jones.
Gold Thank bottle. You. And it's gold and it tastes amazing. So
yeah, big up Zach.
So guys, COVID and all those things.
Yeah.
How are you guys coping?
No coping. I mean, cool. Still certain, some things change, some things don't change. What it has though, it has given me a lot more appreciation for interaction with people. As much as I used to say, boy, I don't like people, I don't like crowd, I don't like mix up.
I still don't like people.
Exactly. So it's like it made me know that I kind of feel a little bit off that interaction with people. So every now and then I remember how much I really appreciate, you know, interacting with people one on one. And so the fact that it has been taken away to an extent, it made me miss it a little bit more and appreciate it a lot more. So.
But hasn't it given you guys both family time? Like you said, you were just speaking to your son.
Yeah, for me, my life set up a little different. We're already socially distant.
Because you live up in the bush.
I live way up in the mountains. You know what I mean?
Side of God.
Yeah. And to be honest, that it comes like now is moments when I really appreciate that decision to move up there because I already in a... away from certain things and just in my own space. My family is a global family, so I've always been in one way or another communicating through, you know, virtual, whether it's WhatsApp or whatever. So that is where it is now. I'm kind of in the mountains by myself. I'm some of my family in Germany and family all over the place, but
you have a British passport like me. You know, I always used to tease you that you were deported. Do you remember?
Back in the day,
you're like, I'm like, Bridget, you're deported. The man who have his passport is like, no.
No, I mean, it worked out for me in the sense of like when I was doing more of the solo stuff, I could move around and kind of base myself in Berlin too. But at the same time, it's good to be in Jamaica. Come, you spend, you know, 99% of your life in Jamaica. Mm-hmm. So it's like, this is home and this is where, at the end of the day, I feel is even a safer place to be than some of these big cities
too.
You know what I mean?
I feel that too. Don't you find when you wake up in the morning, if you don't turn on the TV or look at your phone, you don't feel that there's a pandemic happening?
Right. Yeah, man, definitely. Right. I think that's a blessing though. It's for those who are able to wake up and not see this pandemic that's happening right in front of them faces, you should definitely give thanks and count your blessings and stay as safe as possible and try your best to keep it that way, because there are people waking up that are faced with it day in, day out, every single day. People on the front lines, doctors, nurses, delivery people, people in the food industry, distribution people, like travelers and stuff like that. When I say travelers, I mean like truck drivers, things like that. There are people that are transportation. There are people that are faced with this thing daily. So them seeing it and them seeing what's happening to people. So just give thanks that you're not one of those. You know what I mean? And just go on, do what you have to do for stay safe.
Yeah.
So the thing about COVID, like anything, you know, there's going to be pros and cons of any crisis, you know. So there's opportunities. I believe that if people are, if people dare to be transformative, you know, you will find opportunities. Like, for instance, the whole schooling system going digital right now. That's a big opportunity, you know what I mean, for us to at least involve that more moving post-COVID. I know, say, for people who in the diaspora can have Jamaican education, Jamaican schooling, or at least a component of it through the virtual setting. Even with the music, I'm busy a reason a while ago, I said to busy say, yo, you know, say it have a pros and cons because the concert them get locked off. But at the same time, way more people told me in your streaming numbers going go up. Because people going consume music.
Or you can do digital. Like Erykah Badu is doing her shows and she's making people pay $1 per stream per person. So there's other ways of revenue that you can make and earn as an artist. I mean, what advice do you have to give to other artists out there who just feel like there's no hope right now? Like, what am I going to do? Because some of them are like, not all of them are creatively or thinking to be extra creative. They're just thinking, why am I just stuck?
I think now is the time for leaders. So if you're an artist who didn't know what you had to do and a certain thing and was under hustle, you'll find opportunities now. So if it was a man who was, if you hear it says weed song around the place, say you're right, a million weed song and you're just following the trend, you're going to get lost. You're probably going to do a bag of live IG now because that's what the trend is now.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not really finding how you can take advantage of the opportunities around you. That's how I feel.
Yeah. If you're an artist that believe that there's no hope, you're right. If you're an artist that believe that there is hope, you're right too. I mean, everything is belief, kid, and belief cure, you know. So, if once upon a time when we did younger, we used to have time for ways to try to preach to people who I know won't get it. Mm-hmm. Like, if you want to sit down and believe that there is absolutely no hope, then you're not pay attention.
Right.
And maybe it's not the business for you because you have to strength to do this thing. Right. So, better, I'm going to tell you from early.
Right.
You know, so you can see like, your energy. If you believe that there's no hope, you're right. Stop it.
Right.
Stop now.
But I mean, I guess there are some people who just need that reinforcement. I mean, that's what we as people who like us as artists, like Teoke and Craig and myself, we have achieved a lot and people look at us with certain respect. So it's important for us to not tell them there's no hope.
Me not telling them there's no hope. Let me get it straight.
Let's
be a social distance. Sorry.
Don't spray my foot down.
Spray my hand.
Alright, so as this thing, you really go. I mean, we're taking, we're making light of it, but it's a serious thing. You really do have to sanitize every time, you know, you make a misstep. But as far as the hope thing is concerned, I mean, at the end of the day, what this has taught me even more now, because it's a thing that I study and pay attention to, is that the things are clearer when you search within instead of without.
Mm-hmm.
So when things happen to force you to do introspection and force you to delve within self, you learn a lot more about how you work. And the more you learn about how you work, is the more you understand how things in general work.
Mm-hmm.
So there is never, ever, 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 ever a situation where you are without hope.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you think, it is false. You have to get out of that. There are times, however, when you will be down, there are times where you will face I don't like use the word challenges nowadays, you know, because the challenges are online. But there are times when you will be faced with challenges and you have to go through those times. You know, I'm not here to tell you that the road is going to be all peachy keen for the rest of your life. It nah go gossip.
Well, it's going to be the, but this is the new normal now.
Yeah, man, there are going to be times where things are going to be rough and things are going to be challenging. In those times, you have to find your strength and go through them. But yeah, you have to make it run it course.
Yeah, man. But there's a panic thing that you need to stay far from. I think that's one of the main things. So you just mentioned, if you're not sitting down and, you know, just hovering over the pandemic and every bad thing that's happening, you will realize that there's a lot of other things that's happening. The whole world that didn't stop spinning. Pandemic is just a part of the world now.
We still have debt.
Everybody loves McDonald's fries. So, yes, you accused your mom of stealing some of your fries on the way home. But the bag did feel a little light. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Okay.
Yeah, you still have a lot of other things.
There's other things we still need to worry about or focus on.
Right.
Than just this pandemic. We just need to take these precautions. But
it's a drastic, I can understand it's a drastic change. Yeah. We've never seen anything like just this like in our lifetime.
Just like the only more people now that are coming into...
Boy, Portmore, the water Saint Catherine.
Portmore, my place, and you know, as my son made the move, go up into the mountains, and I can imagine. But the thing is, for me, it really comes down to an individual and how your life setting up. Because me used to live in Hellshire before, and Hellshire Heights, yeah. And if you lock me up in a Hellshire Heights right now, I was always locked up in my house.
Yes,
anyway.
You were.
I never come out of my house. And when I come out, I go back here and drive. Yes. Right out. I go to the beach. I never really, you know what I mean? As I become a man, obviously as a youth, up and down. But you know what I mean? I'm a home person, and I believe in having a home studio and having everything that you need at the yard. And you go out when it's in, when you. Some people can't stay at them yard. Some people can't stay at them yard.
I don't understand
them. Them have to go. When them don't even have. You feel a voice that stay yard. And you can't do it. You have to go out. Those people are the people who suffer now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But for me, Andrew said 3 o'clock, 8 o'clock. It doesn't really make a difference to
me. Andrew said 9 o'clock, I'm like, I've been home for 6.
Yeah.
You can close the shit now. Yeah. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, it's good.
So let's go into TLK. Because remember, some of our viewers... majority of you guys should be familiar with who TLK is. TLK are, you guys are icons in dancehall, reggae and dancehall. And are you guys still a group or are you not a group?
Oh. We're a continuum. this morning, my wife looked for me and she said, hey, that now come off of your favor, you know? I'm going to say, I don't want to come off. It's a TLK tattoo, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you both have it? She said, all on that. I said, yeah. She said, fucking cut. I'm not gonna laugh, I'm gonna say, yo, I guess like it was kind of cultish back in the days. But I mean,
it's a brotherhood still.
Yeah, exactly. It's a brotherhood. Yeah, it's a brotherhood.
Yeah,
I mean,
again, so guys, I can't say hood. What you can say? I can say hood, and you can't say hood, and I can't say partner.
I can't agree with you.
We can't say to you. No, but for real though, like it will forever be a part of us. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's a part of our history that we don't even want to deny, and it made us who we are.
Yeah.
So is.
My camera guy and editor and everybody and director right now, he is like, oh, I'm so upset that the last TLK album is not going to be released. It's in the vault somewhere. Will you guys ever put this out?
What if I'm tunes in our vault?
Yeah, man. We have a few diamonds in the rough right there. But yeah. I think timing is of the essence.
Mm-hmm.
I personally feel like this has been a blessing for TLK. You find that when most times artists only get the recognition when they pass away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when people say, oh, when they look at the whole body of work and say, wow, we have the blessing of, you know, knock on
board.
Not hood.
Jesus. Let me just say.
We have the blessing of people seeing us almost like we're no longer, even though we're here. And right. So they get to express that love. So you find that when we do, can we do reunion concerts every now and again?
Mm-hmm.
When you see a TLK on a flyer, it's sold out in no time. People turn up because they don't know when next they're going to see that. If we pop up anywhere in a studio for a dub plate session, they can feel the love from the people. And even at the time when we were going our separate ways, there were the outcry from people who my peers in the music, some top man, when we just feel like them man they wouldn't even business that, them man they come and say, yo, music needed and can't do this right. Mm-hmm. So it made me realize, so wow, you know, there's a love, and you normally wouldn't get that love until after you pass.
I don't think, like, you guys, there was an era, there was T.O.K., there was Lost, who else, there was other groups that were around. Then there are no more groups. There were groups in the 90s, have you noticed that there's no more groups?
That whole group had changed, I mean, you know, it's a different time, you know. And even for me, that was part of the whole journey too. Because, I mean, when you're in a group, you, especially the way we came out as, like, from school days, like a friend that turned group that became popular.
Let's go into that. How did that start? Like, how did you guys...
How much time do you have?
Let's sum it into, like, 2 minutes. Of T.O.K.
Wait, Craig.
What? I mean, it's really Flex and Alex in that first. They had a group together. They used to sing together at the fets and stuff. And there was a competition that came up in Jamaica one time. And there was a song that they wanted to do on the competition. And they felt that it was better if the song had more than one voices, because the original to the song, more than one voices sang the lead. So, because they knew Rashan and I from choir, but Alex knew Rashan and
nice
were
church
in the same
boys.
Choir.
Look at you.
Not school, church choir, school choir.
Oh, school choir. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Campion. Yeah.
The Carver cult.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those. We're on the place.
Because of that,
they approached us to do the thing. And we were like, oh, yeah, cool. And we rehearsed the day of the audition for the competition. So that was the first rehearsal, the first performance happened on the same day. It was cool.
Mm-hmm. And then from there, we just basically realized we had something special, you know, because when we performed, place them, but this is the first way I get forward, and first way I had that whole experience.
Yeah, and as a little fat youth at school, yeah, I used to get some girl attention, some attention from the girl and woman never used
Craig,
to get
you
before.
Told me on the first podcast that that's why you started.
Why
I'm starting
about,
a business
I
again.
As a youth, you know, as a, I don't know how much people are watching things like that, but can I speak freely?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I'll come.
Why don't we have some wine?
As a youth, you know, when you
do a little top up here.
Yeah, man, top milk.
Because that's in a high school, so that's like fourth farm, them time, so. Hormones are run. So all you think about it. And boy, I mean, I don't know if you think about Pum Pum so much as just a touch. You just want something. You just want the promise of Pum Pum. So it's like, so because of that, no, because the
you
the,
wanted
the singing.
Possibilities.
I like that. So because of that, no, at the time, it used to get the attention. And as I said, me, them time, me, I was 312, 320. Like, them time, there's like, you know, if they see it you're working, they'll work with it. Yeah, like something is happening, something wrong with it. So that was the real reason.
Yeah. I mean, Craig, right, that was a journey. It started at that competition. And then, I mean, after that, we're at school. So for me, it was kind of like, so Campion is an interesting school, you know what I mean? Campion is a school that is, they have an elitist side of it, and they have people who get there from humble beginnings, but because of them intelligence. Mm-hmm. You know?
Which was what?
Poor. I'm not saying that you're in a circle. Like, when I start Campion, I never had a, everybody around me talk about satellite dish. I never have a satellite dish. I never have a video. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like certain things that my friends are talking about, I just can't relate to it.
Right.
It's not about elite, meaning I'm better than you. It's just a socio-economic setting. You know what I mean? So I'm saying when we started the choir, for me, it was a group within the school that me feel like it was our little thing, our music thing. And then when we started to sing and get attention, and we started to go around other schools and I mash up schools, it's like, yo, we have something really, really powerful here. Mm-hmm. Jerry D was a past campionite. And
he was in the same year as my brother Aaron. Big up Aaron, yeah.
So at the time when we knew him, he was coming back and doing like rugby and some other things.
Yeah.
And then eventually when we left Campion, a little older now, he was doing the Friday night
radio
and also the Friday night at Cactus. He was
there. Yeah.
So what happened is that we know by this time now we had to some little club, some little little things about the place.
Yeah.
And we say, oh, I'll go down a Cactus. And we got Cactus the first time, and him let me on, and we sing some song and mash up the place. So that's how we, I think that's how we got introduced to the music industry, the dancehall side of it. And it's a whole heap of journey, you know, if I get a manager, somebody saw us at Cactus and say, yo, I want to manage you. We're like, yo, we have no need a manager. you know, them time, the Stephen Greg Link, we, after that, him start get us into some like a cabaret thing. Him start say, yeah, I can see him making some money and all. But when we go cabaret, because we have some this Cactus side of us, we were told like our music is a little too black for the tourists. Straight up.
Yeah. So what does TOK stand for? Tugs of Kingston.
No, when you met us, it was Tugs of Kingston, but like, it was Touch of
Class. Because when I used to look at them, I'm like, which part of them is Tugs?
I remember specifically Odessa saying to me, you lot are not Tugs.
Yeah, like Tugs
you're,
of Kingston.
You said you're edgy. But you're not Thugs.
Yeah.
I mean, I say, yeah, we're Thugs in the music. What's wrong with you?
She should not give one of that thing, man.
I don't know, Tugs, man.
Who needs an alarm in the morning when McDonald's has sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles and a breakfast cutoff? Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No Tuggy Pants.
I remember that. Well, that's because that's way down in the future. Now we enter the dancehall space and we're trying to, you know, edgy up our acronym, you know what I mean? And where it is now is Tribe of Kings. I think that's the best place to be because each of us is a king.
Right.
Within that. So, I mean, it's a full circle, man. I could have got through. That's why I asked you how much time, because that's before we even start record. Stephen Greg is the one who carries a studio and all that, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Like a joke about Campion and the elitist thing and show. It's like a time capsule joke. So, when I just go Campion, I like the first couple of days, I did a go it. Because, like, I say, yo, I remember my girl on the mute, and I'm like, who are these people? When we hear them talk, I'm like, yo, everybody sound like some foreigner.
Yeah, man.
Like me in a class, I'm going to see some white people. Yeah. I never really used to, every now and then, but like, I never really used to it like that. And then, remember, I link up with a couple of brethren, because I make friends quickly. And like, they was talking about Nintendo. And I must say, yo, I have my Nintendo when I do this and I do this, and all I want to do is go home and play that. I'm used to say, yeah. No, at them time that I do have a clue what I'm Nintendo, no clue. So in my head, now I'm say, yeah, mama, just I say, yeah. When we reach home, look it up.
Yeah.
When me say, look up them time, then
it's not good.
Encyclopedia, me, I got to. Yeah. So when me go into the encyclopedia, I want to search the Nintendo. First of all, I'm going to know how to spell it.
Yeah.
I have a clue, so I try to work it out now. And I'm like, I look for Nintendo in the encyclopedia. Britannica in a big book of history. I look for Nintendo. Can't find a Nintendo. I say, yo, man, stop getting this together. Man, just come straight out and tell them. I'll tell them, like, them look for me like an alien. Like, yeah. I say, so, what? But you have an Atari, though. Man, I say,
what?
You tell them, you know, nothing about me. Never have a clue. Say, you could have used control and move things upon a script. Them tell them, still have got some ish.
I'm fishing back to now, like, I'm actually fine-tuning. Well, not even me. My brothers are privileged brothers.
Because
they had their Nintendo, they had their Atari. We used to carry that to country.
No, course. I know one of your brothers, you know, from Vaz.
You don't have to say which one, you know, because there's a tribe of Jimmy.
From Vaz, Saeed.
Saeed, big up.
Yeah, big up Saeed.
A.K.A. Sky.
So me and my Archie are good friends. Right?
Yeah, man. Archie, man. You're bringing it back now.
Yeah.
So Tugs of Kingston moved to Tribes. What?
Tribe of Kingston.
Tribe of Kingston.
The Tugs of Kingston. There was a taking over Cosmos segment.
What's wrong with you?
It was a time of overproof them and kill them.
Yeah, that was a small,
very short,
short time.
Short-lived.
But we kind of settled on Tribe of Kingston by the fourth album.
Well, listen, there was something Craigie and I, we spoke about studio and how artists today, who are more the digital side, they don't know what it's like to just go in and run a dub.
Right.
They don't understand the technique.
Right. They don't have that skill set. Yeah.
When we were doing dub, we were cutting dubs. When I was cutting dubs with Salam for the, Clash. And I saw how seamless Terra Fabulous just came in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
just started to spit. And Spragga just started to spit.
Yeah.
And Beanie and...
Yeah, man.
It was just seamless for that generation, for that era.
Right.
And now Why is it? What's the reason why this era takes so long that they can't just go in?
I want to explain something before that, though. Within TOK is blessed with being from that time mm-hmm. and having that skill set,
mm-hmm.
but do understand that that is four people being in sync at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a time when we got Arrow Studio and learned amongst the greatest them, like Elephant them did a kill it them time, the killer them, Capleton them, them man them, when them man that the dub, them man the name
no,
one.
No, Capleton
one
is
them man the name one tech. Watch your wife for the tech, but I one tech them man the name, isn't me? And we learned that. Is it me? By the time, fast forward maybe 4 years later, we get Eagles Cry, and then we have to start the dub now. Them time over here, so we have to have a cell phone, people need to call you. And we go in and shot that four in sync, like lock in, is it me?
Yeah,
so there's but no excuse.
That was
excuse.
Because of the tape, right? Is that because it was on tape?
Yeah, yeah, because it's going straight to wax.
Right, it was straight to the dub plate, straight to right. play. So while you're recording,
it going straight,
it cutting
right.
on the record.
So you can't afford to, and if you make no mistake, that is a cost in the middle. So you can't afford to make no mistake.
And then time that bad man run sound. Yeah. So when them man they stand up outside of the booth, because the booth is just really a box, you know, with some plexiglass by the outside. So the man see straight in, you see straight over. Then man they stand up outside of the booth with them face reach up.
Yeah, man.
And it a run. You don't make no mistake.
Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. So that the skill set. But I think the youth them though, in our fairness to them, as an artist who has been got the best that experience of that world. So when it transitioned to digital, Jeremy Harding, big up first real computer studio we got.
That's right.
Jeremy carried same Jerry D carried us there first.
Because they were Campion boys.
Yeah. and then, you know, he was running them thing as the only computer studio for a very long time. Yeah. Then in comes Pro Tools. Some people were reluctant to move with Pro Tools.
Who Jeremy learned from? The Great Gadget, but we'll go into that a little later.
so when we went into this digital space, it really increased the productivity level. Mm-hmm. Like, you could have make songs like that. First time before, you know, me remember Richie Stevens, I tell him, say, yo, you might have the rhythm, the winner. I was born, I was born as a winner, Vicky then why, and Vegas, where I go, whatever. And we have looked forward, you know, so I say, yo, give me a run upon the rhythm. I say, I have two tracks. This is 20, when you hear about 24 tracks, it means that you have 24 tracks, and only two you have left. Now, when you have the rhythm take up like 8 or 9 of the track, each artist will get one. So when a man have 124 track cut of the rhythm, and probably put 7 artists on it, and that's 8 or 10 artists. We the 4 of it, get 2 track.
Well, one of them track is a simple track.
Right.
To keep the timing.
Right.
That's what
right.
it means to keep timing. Right, so it means to have the frequency them around for one track. So
Yeah.
So that's what you used to sound for the track. So you really only have one track. And then you really want delete the synth track.
Yeah, because that's how things lock up. So, I mean, we're coming from you know, really fighting to make it happen. What happened with the youth them now, you know, is in this digital space, is it's a benefit for them and for me as well, making music now, is that you have the liberty to get so creative, all these plugins and all these digital. You can cut and paste and do this, and you can do so much more in that sense, but it takes away from certain skill set that you would have learned then. You know what I mean?
And also something that's just pure.
Yeah.
Well, I believe
off the top of your head.
I think you can still make it pure in the digital space, but it really comes on to you as an artist, you know, because, I mean, even with Pro Tools, you can still do a one tech. You don't have to still do art tech. You don't have to do 1 million background vocals.
So it goes down
and
to one take artist.
Yeah, it comes down to what you're about, but what works for you too. You have to know what works for you. Some people, it's better to pretty it up and get it right. And for some people, it's just like anything extra is distracting. Just give me one track.
I found too that it depends on the song too and the mood you're trying to get on. There are songs that I will opt to use auto-tune, but there are songs that I don't want to use it at all. But some songs just have a different sound, a different feel when you use it. So, you know, it has the vibes.
Right.
So we use it as a tool.
And then some people voice fit certain things more, like I know when in the old TOK sphere, Alex voices fit with auto-tune. Like
perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, the original kind of auto-tune.
TPM running at them on the side, you know.
TPM
TPM show them time TPM signed to Akon. And I will link up with Akon and TPM in the backstage. I'm gonna see where Alex walking in, I'm gonna see TPM what's up. Yep. Like the man say, yo.
The man build him whole style.
Yeah.
The man start doing locks, the man start roll up. Them time the T-Pain used to run up and down that cap and run up and down and eat up with food out of backstage. Eat up with food backstage. And like,
big up T-Pain. Big up his
T-Pain. Big up T-Pain. Stop eating people food. No, alright, we did it. See, I joke.
So you're T-Pain. We still want that song with brother. Big up his
cool, man.
We're cool, man.
So we did it. And like, him coming around like, I see him, I look at Alex and he's like, yo, that thing you do, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. That thing you do. Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah, man. Like the next month, around, we're in a 100 songs. Yeah, because Little John, with that part, Little John in time, Little John's producing. Yeah, man, I want circle, man, but people wouldn't understand the influence we have as Jamaican artists and the hip hop space. So definitely, T-Pain was one of them. And
but
I
you
think
guys were like the first, what, BET on BET?
First on 106 and Park. First on 106 and Park. First dancehall artist on 106 and Park. First artist to go in the top five at 106 and Park, independent. Yeah. You know, went to four with
man,
footprints.
So many stuff.
You know, New York Times called us the greatest reggae band of all times, dancehall rude boy band of all times.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Seriously, I do.
We get some blessings, so we give thanks, you know.
Still getting them. I mean, yeah.
So let's go into like what you guys are doing now, because we, you know, Well, Craigie and I work very close together.
Right.
You know, he's a host of a show that I produce, Daytime Live. So big up to all the TVJ Daytime Live.
Yeah, man, big show. Yeah, man, the people love it.
Craigie bought a whole.
Limba Chicken Chamin, Retro aka Big Wara.
Yo, it's Big Fred, aka Daddy Tuzawadi Podcast.
Kiki Tubafetu, and we are the So Green Podcast.
Tune in to us every second Wednesday for fire conversations and interviews about South African music, sneakers, and street culture.
Check us out on the Revolt Podcast Network.
Shout out to our moms.
Oh, I call it more of a manly vibe to the show.
Yeah, we're there for rough it up. We're there for rough it up with it still. Like, I don't know. Weird, you know, like TV for me.
Yeah, how did you even get into TV?
It's strange. It's like, it's strange. That's why I tell you, I have to give thanks. It's like, it's like life called me. Basically, I was sitting down at home. I think I had just finished recording something for a virgin of mine too. And I got a call from the general manager of TVJ, and she was like, yo, how do you feel about going back on TV? I'm going to say, I don't know. I never think about it. I guess. And she's like, well, there's a show that we have, and I think that you'd be a good host for it, and I want you to come check it out. I'm going to say, yeah, sure. I mean, one thing with me, like, new experiences, like, my love experience with everything. So I'm like, yo, all right, cool, man, come check it out. Come check out the show. And it just so happens that that day, I was on the road, and I saw it on TV. I think it was in the bank.
Yeah.
And I saw it on TV in the bank, and I was like, yo, you know, somebody go try out that show, yeah? For real. Then I didn't know that was the show. And I said, you know, somebody go check out that show, yeah? No, I was like, I wonder if this is the show she was talking about. And then I went to a screening of it, and I was like, yo, this have a vibe. Let me try it out. But the sweetest thing with TV for me is that I find it as just an extension of self. I don't try to do anything.
I think that's why you connect with the audience.
With the audience,
I just...
Well, that's what I wanted as well as a producer. I wanted, and I made sure every art, because the hosts that were on before, they were told to be certain ways. Yeah. And I was just like, nah.
That wouldn't work
need
for
you to
me,
be you.
Yeah.
So, Craigie brings more of the sexy vibe. Joel will fight you out for that, but yeah. And Duffy too, but you know.
I think it's a good mix. As a person on the outside looking in, I think, you know, I definitely think it's a great show. I think it's a great move for Craig. I think people who, when we're artists, we get locked into what people think of us, and that's really based around our music mainly, and what they see of us, what we expose them to.
But there's a lot more to both of you.
Right.
This is what I wanted to get into.
Yeah,
like,
so
I know
for him doing this now, it made people connect with him and understand who Craig is and like his personality.
As a producer, Craig is a producer, you're a producer as well, but you also do other stuff. So let the people know, because you're also in another whole realm as well.
Bright boy, man.
Business.
Yeah, I mean, I try to just push for do as many things as possible, you know. So part of the things that I do outside of music is part of a company called Spatial Innovision.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the deputy CEO, but really it's my pop's company. Mm-hmm. But he's done some great stuff, and the company has done some great stuff in bringing a science called Geographic Information Systems, GIS, to the Caribbean, and basically helping government and private organizations to visualize the data. I mean, this is you can always talk words, but what do we mean by that? I mean, like, in the case of COVID-19 now, any map that you can see or dashboard that can share information about, you know, the levels of cases, deaths, geographic scene, where hotspots are. I think even the Prime Minister yesterday referred to the term geographic information systems in his analysis of St. Catherine. So that science is, for the most part, something that my pops brought to the Caribbean. And the company is a leading company in that space. Because it's my pop's company, I have gotten more involved in it over mm-hmm. the years. And now I'm in some form of a leadership space where, you know, adding value. And I won't even want to bring it into the music. So, you know, a few months ago, we were talking about parties locking off and where are the spots that we can have entertainment zones. GIS is a perfect thing to help you literally look at all the factors, the economic, where the markets are, where people are, where the tourists are situated, and put all that into planning out strategic best spots for entertainment zones.
Wow. So, when you look on all your Facebook and Instagram analytics, you're supposed to see all kinds of
things. Exactly.
You're supposed to see completely different.
So it's those things. And I think it's a way more that we as the Caribbean, it's a way for things that happen in the background that I'm just getting exposed to, you know? And you see, like, even for instance, with hurricane coming and weather, you know, mapping the impact of disaster on our people. Those things are things that you need to analyze from a geographic standpoint. Our logistics hub that we're doing to be a key person within transatlantic trading, that is managed through geography. Telecommunications, if someone wants to, if Digicel wants to know where all their clients are and how it relates to their towers and manage their towers and manage the fiber optic lines. There's all kinds of space within the geospatial sphere. And it's very interesting to me. So that's what I do outside of music, you know.
Wow.
So,
be sure you're thinking now. For the youths, them, well, they don't want there for the not to give up hope. The youths, them, want field geography now. Don't give up hope. Me remember this man in high school. You're bad now. Yeah. So you're good. There's a bright
geography. Geography was one of my favorite subjects.
No, geography is an underlying thing for the entire world. Mm. I mean, managing COVID right now is everything you're looking at is where it started from, where it extends to, who was traveling here, all that is location-based. And you cannot fight almost anything in this life. You can't find anything in this life that doesn't
have
some
location. Have you guys launched officially, or are you going to, where can we get
the company,
information?
The company? The company's around for 21 years. As I said, it's my pop's company. So people can check out spatialvision.com, mm-hmm. S-P-A-T-I-A-L-V-I-S-O-V-I-S-I-O-N, vision. And yeah, it's a company that's been around for many years, and we try our best to be partners with organizations to help them optimize what they're doing.
Well, you know, Africa, this is going a lot of places in Africa.
Yeah,
man,
some partners in Esri, Ghana, Esri, Nigeria. You know, a good friend of mine that run off over there. I have partners in China. It's a global network of GIS, and something that it plays into so many decisions. Satellite imagery and all these things all play into where we are. So, I mean, it's very interesting, and it's something that people who know from the music side wouldn't know. Say that's something else that I do, but it's not something that I load up because my passion is still music, and I still every day making music. Like I would do the work business in the day, and then by the time it reached afternoon, I have to knock out a rhythm or do something. And then there's another thing I do called listening news too. So that also.
Are you coming back with that?
So what I've done with listening news is listening news to get caught up in the TV politics.
Right.
So for me as an entrepreneur, it was really not the right business model to be in that space. So what we have done now is done it more as a service for different organizations that want to communicate. So if, for instance, if the World Health Organization might say they want to, or Red Cross, in this case, COVID-19, Red Cross has approached us and said, we have this message that we want to get to people of anti-stigma. You know, people who might feel they have the disease, they're really reluctant to call and get checked out because of fear of what people around them were to say. We need to take away that stigma. And, you know, through music and through visuals, we can create a unique way of communicating that. So that's where I put Listen Me News now, as more of an information and a communication tool.
More than just entertainment.
More than just entertainment, yeah, because it really is edutainment. You know?
And that's exactly what we need to do, especially when we're doing media. It's always about educating and entertaining at the same time. Right. Craig, you have anything else to add?
For me, it's really mostly music, you know. I produce my record label. It's called Gaff Jam Records. I will tell you that there's a song that I want to release, but I'm going to put it up for discussion online. Yeah, man, definitely want something like that. I'm going to put it up for discussion online whether I should release it now or if I should wait until the end of this thing, but I don't know when the end is going to be. And I think this is very appropriate for now. And Bill Withers just passed away.
Right.
And may his soul rest in peace. He did a song called Lean On Me, and we did a cover version of that. Several male voices in the business, Graham Smorgon, T.O.K., Loss, Voicemail, Tyrus Riley, Dwayne Stevenson, Chris Martin, Dean Major, a holy power, Dean Fraser, Natel, Cesar, lots of people were involved in the making of that song, and we did it together, and it really kind of... put into perspective the whole notion of unity, and together we stand, and through unity we can beat this thing. So I think that now is the perfect time for it. So I've been in talks with some people to put it out the right way.
Right.
No, because it was never released. It was the first song produced by Gaff Jam, and it wasn't released. But I think that now is the perfect time to release it. So, you know, I have a record label. I produce a few artists. I write for
a lot.
Hundreds.
You want to give the people them some?
Because, like, that is the thing. That's it. Like, my basic can tell you, like, I can't, my brain can't quiet. Like, I'm always thinking, always writing, always creating.
Who have you written for?
Like, okay, so I've written for a lot of people who have used it. Let me see now. Munga, Taros, T.O.K., of course, Shensia.
Killer Cobra,
Beanie Man, Cardi B, a lot of people that I've written for in the past that have, I don't want to put too much on the card, them Jamaican people, like, when they're ready to run down your pocket, you know, them dangerous. So I like writing, because so big up Jacob, big Kelly up Price. Asker, big up Kelly Price too. We keep it's a stream of income that I think that a lot of artists need to pay more attention to.
Right.
And especially times like these, you really realize that the inability to go out and perform these things will add added value and added income in your pocket, car. It's March now, well, it's April now, but April just has started. So it's the beginning of COVID and you can't go anywhere, but it's also the end of a quarter. So now it's a royalties payout time. Mm-hmm. So it's a nice buffer for what is happening now. Mm-hmm. So the more people you write for is the more you get you spread your wings and get them out there.
Right.
So that's another thing I do. I do TV, I host television as well. Which is interesting for me. It's a interesting tool to get your face out there, get your thoughts and your ideas out there for people can see and understand more of who you are.
You know, let's go back to where there's a discussion. There's a thing that's going on in China, and we really wanted to discuss what was going on in China with them mistreatment of Africans.
Right.
In China, we had this discussion already on Daytime Live,
right. Mm-hmm.
And you know, they're being kicked out of their homes. They're being, it's just disgusting. There's signs saying, you know, black people are not allowed in the restaurants and all of that. How do you feel about what's going on? Because, you know, like, there's 10 million people in Chinese people in Africa. Right. And we as Africans, because we are all Africans, no matter where we come from, guys. We as Africans don't treat any other race that way, but we are still the ones that are being discriminated on as anywhere we go in the world today.
I could be biased, right? It's very difficult to self-examine and know whether you're biased or not. But based on what I've seen, I think that generalizing and speaking as looking at races, I think that blacks are the most welcoming race that I see. I think we're very open, and I think that comes from a standpoint of sharing. We're very loving, we're very sharing. So I know personally, once I have some information, I already have it. So if I see somebody that can benefit with it, I'm open with it. Now, this is personal, but mm-hmm. as a race, I've noticed that about blacks as well. We're quick to use our findings, our inventions, our innovations in order to help the greater good of mankind.
Mm-hmm.
But I have noticed where other races, they do that as well, but they're a little bit more closed. They involve only their own, or most of their own, I would say. And, you know, because of that, you have a withholding of information and a withholding of assets, a withholding of wealth, a withholding of just things in general. And I think that a lot of that is coming back around to bite us. My analysis is that we operate from a standpoint of love, and other races might operate from a standpoint of fear, but that is a layperson's analysis, you know. Yeah. So I could be very wrong. However, I know that if I have $100 and the 1, 2, 3, 4 of us in here hungry, like I'm going to buy something that the four of us can eat. Mm-hmm. That's just mm-hmm. that's just me. Mm-hmm. But everyone is not like that, and I can knock them for being like that, because people have to think about their own survival. But I am not worried about whether or not I will survive, and I don't think the black race is worried about whether or not they will survive. But it would appear that others are.
Well, I think that's the fundamental of it all. I mean, there's two things I would say. One is that this whole concept of race is very short-sighted and trivial, because everybody come from black people.
Ah.
So we're all black. They just don't know the black part of them DNA. Also, the spread of COVID-19 shows that no matter what color you are, is a humanity challenge we're facing right now as a species.
Mm-hmm.
This little thing that you can't see can wipe out a species.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? I always tell people that racism will die the minute an alien drop on the planet.
Don't you believe that aliens here?
Well, the minute we see an alien on the planet.
They're here.
The minute we see it.
That's another.
That's a different thing, but what I'm saying is, it's the minute humans turn around and see that, black, white, everybody are going to say, yo, we need to work together to get rid of that.
Why do you think that there would be...
an enemy?
Yeah.
No, but I'm talking about the innate state of humans, a species, as a species.
Mm-hmm.
I think we are super, when we reach down to the animal side of us, we are very selfish, a self-surviving kind of species.
Mm-hmm.
And that also falls down within the race.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think out of the race timeline,
mm-hmm.
because black came first.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else who fall under is a little younger. You ever see siblings? You ever see the baby who will say, mine, the big brother does not look like it's all of us, but you can go and feel like it's yours, but this is for all of us. I think that's why the black race is so warm, and because we have been around so much, we understand that this world, just like when you go to Africa, is European come put a border and cause problem in Africa.
Know.
You know? Mm. We was just like, yo, if the call them on, go through Zimbabwe and go end up over there, so for this time of the year, that's where them go. It don't have nothing to do with which is more tribe of a little space, but not geographical spaces. So those kind of divides is things that come from a racial, to me, immaturity in the timeline of your consciousness. Black people are older, we're around more, so we have an older level of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
While some of the other races are a little younger. You can't blame them, because probably a lot of them more looking at the short-sightedness. Like if you look at some of the other races.
That's still go back to fear though.
Yes, fear. Like I said, love and love or fear.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying at the end of the day, it's dumb, because this thing, COVID, is going across races. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter. And then you have, I see Puffy Post somewhere in America now, the ratio is like 1 in every 10 is black. But in COVID, it's 1 in every 2 that is dying. So now we as a people, black people in the States, have to start to realize that this thing can wipe out more of us than another race, even though you don't want to get down to a race.
But then I saw something that those stats are not necessarily right.
I don't know. I guess the point of what I'm saying is that
it could be media propaganda to put fear again in black people to say that they're going to wipe us out.
That's what I'm saying. The race don't have nothing to do with it. The race don't have anything to do with it. It really come down to a humanity thing. And sorry for one second. The next thing I'm going to feel like, so that's the first point, that the race don't matter. And the second point, I think, is that most times, if you look at humanity, when crisis take way, we try to find a quick way out, but we don't really learn the long-term lessons to make change, behavioral change. And right now, everybody looking for a vaccine to get this thing out. Nobody not thinking about what fundamental changes we have to make to make sure something like this don't happen again or prepare for if it comes again. And I think what will be sad out of all of COVID-19 is if
we don't learn
and a bigger one come in 5 years.
We're
not prepared as a species.
That's possible.
I think we need to be, instead of talking about COVID, we need to be giving more ways of what we eat, how we live. Because COVID is good and bad. COVID has made the planet
cleaner.
A lot cleaner now.
Right.
You know, because we've been destroying the planet with travel.
Right.
With planes, with cars, with everything. So, you know, things are a lot cleaner now. Yeah. Families are more becoming more of one and communicating, whereas some are not.
Right.
It's a lot of domestic violence that is happening as well at the same time. But I just think that we need to be educating. We as a people, we eat better anyway. We naturally eat better. So it's to get that trajectory out to everybody of what to eat, what to do.
But that's what me, I say. I mean, for me, the first thing when we get out of this coronavirus thing is when them say, okay, social distancing won't work for me because I'm already a distant person. But when them say, wash your hands, I'm like, so the world need a virus.
No, some people nasty, yo.
You need a coronavirus to hit the world before you know
some
say people wash your hands.
Nasty.
That's what I'm saying. And so what you saying, after corona gone, you're going to stop washing your hands?
But there's people
that's
like,
what point,
I've
you know
been,
what I mean?
I've been a victim of like eating and not washing my hands afterwards because I'm driving or whatever. There's certain little things. So it's just like, it's bringing you back full circle again.
Right.
It's bringing you back full circle.
It's weird still now because sometimes more than that. Sometimes like I tend to keep quiet on things, you know, because like I see things so differently more times. It's unpopular at times. But like when you check it, how does one really know what is good or what is bad for them? We everybody, every human, and if there are other beings out here, they operate the same way. Everybody can only operate based on them current state of knowledge, you know. So you don't really you don't really know what you're doing. Because who is this? Because in 6 years you're going here say you use too much soap, don't wash your hands so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like they're everything ebb and flow.
Right.
You know what I mean? 1 year you hear say you must live your life and don't eat no carbs if you want to lose weight. Then the next year you hear say, boy, you know, you need a little bit of carbs. Then the next year you hear say, go keto. And then you hear, go pain.
But
it's not
that.
You don't really know.
Retrain, that's my thing is, that's not for everybody. Because we are all different species. So even though it's about humanity, we as black people are not the same as white people.
But
I'm not the same as Indians. Because yoga is not for me.
I'm
an African. I'm not an Indian. I can't. Certain yoga is made for Indians. It's not really made for
a person. But Indian is a black man.
But Indian is not. And we all come from one. Hamara Bharata. Right, we all come from one place, but we are still different.
I would say the solution to that is coming down to yourself, understanding yourself and what works for you. Because not black yoga can work for some black people and don't work for other black people.
Veganism to me is not for
everybody.
It's not. I don't believe in no meat diet.
Right.
I don't believe in that.
Right.
I believe in moderation.
Right.
Sometimes you don't need it, sometimes you need it.
Balance is the key.
I don't believe that everything that they're telling you or what they're feeding you right now is for black people.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
Or it's for, you understand me?
Yeah, but I feel it's a me.
When, I'm trying to get away from.
When you get a hold of information, the only way you will know what is right,
mm-hmm.
just like if you're reading the Bible, is in the terms of the Bible, you pray and ask
depending
for the
depending if you're Christian.
Whatever you're reading, whether it's a book about Nancy Drew or whatever,
right.
You in yourself have to ask for discernment, and you have to look in yourself,
mm-hmm.
know how to sift through what people telling you by words. And you have to know what to take away. You have to look in the mirror and know what is right for you and be honest with you. If you are drinking too much, you can look in the mirror. You don't need no online nothing to tell you. You can look in the mirror and say, I drink too much. You can look in the mirror and say, you know, so may I hear this keto thing, but me need liquor carbs. Mm-hmm. So when next year later, when them come and say you need liquor carbs, you didn't know that because God tell you that in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that is part of what Craig says is happening when people self know.
Mm-hmm.
You're finding yourself and find the truth of the world is in you, you know. It's in your DNA, you know. Everything what you need to know about the world is inside you. If you read it, sit down and dig deep into your inner knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's in your DNA. Mm-hmm.
And the next thing about that is when you come face to face with it, you have to be real enough to accept it.
Right.
At the same time, it's two things. Old time yadi, you hear old time Jamaican say a thing, say, what for John Kiaing. And it's a real thing. If it's COVID-19 to take you, it's gonna take you,
mm-hmm.
you know. And if it's not, then it won't. And the next thing is, I don't know if anybody ever see that thing with them take the earth and then them show you the earth in respect to the sun in size, and then them show you the sun in respect to the bigger stars and the bigger stars, and then you do the galaxies and then the universe, and then it's like we are so small and insignificant.
Right. It's just minute to what's
it's
going
like
on.
It for us to think. All right, let me give you a scenario, and understand that when I say these things, it's just to open your mind a little bit to accept a little more, because Christians talk all the time, but a lot of the times when them talk nowadays, it's like, I don't listen, because a Christian must be willing to accept that God's will is God's will.
Inshallah.
And that you don't, mm-hmm. you praying for something different, it cannot be right. It must be coming from a selfish place, because at the end of the day, God must know. If that is what you believe in, then you should believe that he knows what is best for you. So what if this whole thing that is happening is the world just taking back its thing, you know, it's for its space. It's in, like, at the end of the day, Mother Nature needs certain space in order for the world to continue. Maybe just to take it back.
Mm-hmm.
And who the fuck are we to say, no, you take too much? Like, we've been taking for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what, like, You have to live your life, and you have to live your life to try to keep your footprint as small as possible, and not do things to disorient the things around you too much. But at the end of the day, you have to realize that what is happening, you don't necessarily need to have any control over, but just ride the wave.
Hard. But that's what life is about. It's about, I mean, when a person pray, they're supposed to pray for whatever they're praying for, but also they're willing to accept the will of God. You know what I mean?
Well, that's why I like the Muslim saying, Inshallah, our God's will.
I said that on my title track for the album, Holy mm-hmm. Temple. I say, Inshallah, you know.
How much time I see people sit on over a loved one and I pray for them door dead,
yeah.
and the loved one that they can't talk, and them pray for dead.
Right.
So.
Yay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Hey.
Yeah, I mean, as I said still, I mean, it's easier said than done until it's in your situation too. Mm-hmm. Because yeah. I know I have someone was telling about a friend who her mom got sick in New York with the COVID, and in no time, she ended up in the hospital. She can't go visit her mom in the hospital. Then the mother died. She can't have a funeral.
It's no, she yeah. can't get the ashes out.
A family member of mine passed away in the UK, and only five people could go to the funeral.
Right. So
and
it's crazy.
It was just like, heartbreaking.
These are things that you see in movie and think is just a movie. I know people live in it. So, you know, it's contextual for everybody.
The wicked man.
You know, contextual. But at the end of the day, I just hope that for all that loss that people have and that pain,
mm-hmm.
you need to make it worth something. So you have to learn from the mm-hmm. situation And I hope that we learn to... You, what you're saying is that the carbon footprint alone has, in just 1 month or 2 months, the reduction of that.
Can you imagine?
So, but people are more concerned about the minus, the 3% dip in the economy. You know what I mean?
That's
but let's try and put a value on that, that carbon footprint, that dip, and what that means for the world and what that means for our sustainability in this world.
Because we were just complaining that we can't breathe and then the air is bad and everything like that. Like, a year ago.
Right.
And now you can, people can, but what?
But it's like, is a give and take.
Oh, animals are in the certain type of mammals and everybody are in the sea now and you're seeing them come up.
Yeah. But I mean, for me, no, I am guilty of that carbon footprint because my, you know, two of my kids are in Berlin and literally every month, 1 month I'm in Jamaica, next month I'm in Berlin and back and forth. So the lack of travel for me personally has an impact in, on me and I'm sure for other people with business.
So why don't you just have the kids here for 6 months of the year and then
well, this is what I'm saying. This is actually creating, I mean, they have done 6 years. Yeah, they do 6 months here, them do school in here and then them go back there and then come back. But some of the time, you know, with German system, once them start a certain level of prep school, them can't really come out, you know, you get fined as a parent. So them have to really stay there, you know what I mean? Or just transfer and decide I'm transferring, but you can't be back and forth, back and forth.
Wow.
It's not like us where you could do a year here and then say go in Miami for a year or whatever, you know?
See it with all three.
Yeah. but there's pros and cons because our system here have way more, you know, my son here is doing in school and internet virtual and nothing to stop. You know what I mean? In German system is more... it's more a roots kind of vibe. So them don't really have that infrastructure going on, you know what I mean? So there's pros and cons. But I, as a global person with a British passport, traveling is definitely a big part of my life. But you have to just make that sacrifice for Mother Nature, you know what I mean? Because the truth is, 200 years ago, there wasn't even a plane. I used to have to just live your life where you were living. So we can't overdo the plane thing and at the cost of the planet, you know?
So what is the final? We're going to kind of end it out now. What future? All right, think beyond like, okay, we don't have COVID right now, but what is the latest thing that's going to be happening with you, Craigie, and with you music-wise or other business-wise or whatever?
In the whole music setting right now, I just dropped some singles and build back a vibe. I did an album called Holy Temple.
Yes.
And it was really a spiritual journey. It was, I think it was a little different from what a quote-unquote bassy fan from TOK would expect. And that was deliberate because I wanted to go as wide as possible creatively before I zone back into the predictable bassy on a dancehall, really talking about girls whining kind of concept, you know? But now I'm back there, you know? For 2020, I really want to work on a full album. It's coming. It's going to be called King Bass. It's the first time announcing it.
Hey, I get the
exclusive. So King Bass is coming, and it's really just bassy, just being the bass voice on different beats and just flowing and spitting and playing with that. So since the year started, I've just dropped a lot of singles to build up that vibe. And the current single I have on is Muevelo, produced by Walshy Fire and Tribal Kush. Yeah, it's nice. I'm have the Muevelo. I know you need to challenge them, but for the girls them, we have a Muevelo challenge right now. We have a cash prize and what we might do is take all the clips. All
and
the
this interest, is on Instagram.
On Instagram. Okay. We might afterwards put all the clips together in a music video. Virtual video since where I work now, but that's out, and I have a nice one with Left Side as well called Bring It On.
I haven't heard from Left Side in a while.
Nice. So, right, let's drop something. Also, Muevelo to kind of make we talk to the Spanish market, and I really want to engage them more for this 2020. So, just dropping music, also producing more now. I have a single dropping with Taurus Riley and Iwan called Mad Scientist.
Nice.
It's talking specifically about the whole vibe now, but it's so interesting because I did it a few years
ago. I never thought you could get Iwan and Taurus together. That's a nice vibe.
Yeah, so Mad Scientist coming out in a few weeks from Bombers Records. And there's more music coming and the vibes is there, you know. Creatively, I'm in a very good space, and we have tracks making for the album. The first album never have no feature. This album we have mere feature. You know what I mean?
So quickly, they're on it.
Well. for me, Craig, after that from my album, just like how me the from Craig album, you know what I mean? But it wasn't that, that first album was just me and my spirituality.
Right.
But yeah, album that have features for sure, I would want Craig and the lyricists and singers and, you know, I might even ask each of the members of TOK to be somewhere else.
And, yeah,
but to be in their own spaces, me and Craig, that's a do our DJ thing, I mean, Alex, or whatever.
Yeah.
We're still in the creative process. Our only feature I've so far is Christopher Martin.
Okay.
I have a nice track with him, produced by Ronnie Dan.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're just working on that, and people can look out for more on the Basie music at Instagram.
The Basie. All right.
Yeah, for me, no. Boy, I don't know. I know. When you talk to, you see, the thing is, me in this virtual space, I kind of find it difficult because I like looking into people's eyes. And speaking one on one, but like really and truly, like where I am now is very inside. Like I'm really doing a lot of introspection now, kind of trying to figure out the best way to fit in at the end of this thing. Because the difference with me and everybody else is that I'm not resistant to change at all. I accept it willingly. So it's to really see and kind of feel where music are going to end up. Because like from ever since, I never really believe in genres. I believe that music is one music and everything is joined. So like it kind of have some EDM tracks to come out.
Mm-hmm.
We just released a song called Cease and Circle. It's a collaboration with myself and Ben Barbic, produced by Ian Young. Big up yourself, General. And we'll have some more music together to come out as well. I also just did an album with DJ Buddha, titled
Buddha!
One, that is to be released as well. But as far as after the whole COVID crisis is concerned, like I don't know where music will be. So I don't know what I am going to want to say in that time, because it could be a revolutionary time. I'm gonna feel like get upset at things that happening and decide for camera music there. It could be a time where the focus should be on unification and solidarity, and I could put my music there. It could be a time where people just are happy that the crisis is over and want to celebrate, and I might put my music there, because in any one of those directions, the voice has a space.
Right.
So, I mean, it's difficult to say right now, because we're on the cusp of a huge change. I don't have any challenges out. there's only a part of me that kind of wishes I did, but I don't know. Like,
I have to do is 50 push-ups a day.
That's easy, man. But don't murder a challenge.
I'm back on that again.
Then someone must do the body 16 bars. So I'm gonna shut a 16 bar the other day and put it up.
Let me hear it now.
And shut up the people. Nah, that was
I like that one. Give me a little one bar, three bar now.
I don't even know if I have it on my phone.
It's on the Instagram.
It's on IG. My IG name is Craig, CREIGY_TOK. You can
We finished.
Yeah.
The bottle.
Yes.
So the bottle done. The bottle done. The drinks done.
My last.
My brothers, thank you so much for just
my pleasure
gracing me with your presence for the first visual reasonings.
Yeah, man.
And we're gonna do a lot more reasonings a little later. I'm your host, Odessa. Linkage Laters. Peace.
Mad thing.
Hey, don't forget to subscribe and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at OAccess Jamaica. This podcast is also brought to you by Ideas Evolution.
Who needs an alarm in the morning when McDonald's has sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles and a breakfast cutoff? Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.